Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Blah, 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 you know what time it is. They say life a bit tight tonight, boy, we diving in. We got Zach Amico, red dot, headshot, he's a sniper. The Puerto Rican point guard striking like a viper. Yo,
Lewis and Zach are back,
and they came to attack, spilling crack on the track, yeah.
Lewis and Zach are back,
yeah, the Zach Atlanta Rattlesnakes spitting straight facts, yeah.
Lewis and Zach are back,
for the baby boy.
Lewis and Zach are back,
for them baby boys.
Lewis and Zach are back,
for them baby boys.
Lewis and Zach are back,
when they making noise.
Yeah, what's up, baby boys? It's your boy Lewis J. Gomez. New background. Hopefully people like this one more.
I like it.
I like it a lot too.
I like it.
Sexy.
It's like the neon signs all the other podcasts buy, but we didn't have to pay for it.
And we do have to pay for it.
What? We didn't have to pay somebody to make the glass.
Yeah.
I like it.
A little shadowy here. Welcome to the show. It's your boy, Lewis J. Gomez. It's a Wednesday. We're live here at the Gas Digital Network, Gas Digital Studios, East Village, New York City. If you're watching this live, thank you very much. If you're watching this on YouTube or anywhere else, you should know that we do a live version of the show that's both uncensored and ad-free. Plus, we do a bonus Friday show every Friday just for subscribers. There's three Lewis and Zach shows every single week. If you subscribe to Gas Digital, gasdigital.com. People love the platform. People love the website. People love the app. There's no complaints at all. I started going into my Trump impression there,
yep,
but it wasn't on purpose.
No, you were just bullshitting so hard that the Trump came out of your face.
We have an incredible show planned today, but go subscribe to Gas Digital if you're not already subscribed. It's the number one way you can support this show. Uncensored, ad-free content coming at you like Cleopatra, baby boys. 19 or 18 shows on the network. We're adding more. Shout out to fucking Violent J and what's his brother's name?
Bill.
Tub Thumper?
Oh, Jump Steady.
Jump Steady. Jump Steady.
Tub Thumper was Chumbawamba.
Yeah, so that was a Chumbawamba song.
That was my nickname in high school.
He drinks a whiskey drink. He drinks a vodka drink.
Jump Steady and Violent J started their podcast on March 26th, their first live stream ever on Gas Digital. The Burbs, Burbs Brothers Podcast is your podcast.
It's our podcast.
I'm failing, dude. It's called the
Bruce Brothers.
The Bruce Brothers.
Jesus, the Bruce Brothers.
Fucking Christ.
Burbs Brothers.
I'm having a real hard time
it's
here
okay.
today.
It's okay. It's okay, man.
Two incredible guests.
New background.
Yeah. It throws you off.
I gotta be honest, I'm a little foggy today, buddy.
Why are you foggy?
I had one of those THC drinks last night, and I may have overpoured, and I woke up still very high.
Ooh. How much
drink? 80 milligrams.
What?
They make them with that many?
The bottles I get are 100, and usually I do half, and I poured it, and it was already down to 20, and I went... Well, I'm not going to undo it. I'm not going to put it back in the bottle.
it's going to stay with you for 24 hours.
Yep.
Holy God. It's very good. I love it. What is the name of the company again?
Hedy Roosevelt.
Hedy Roosevelt. They're great, dude. When I was smoking weed, when I stopped drinking and I was still smoking weed, I would go to the bar and I'd be like, can you make me a cocktail with these drinks? And they'd pour 50 milligrams into a cocktail and make it. It was fucking delightful.
Oh, wow.
Delightful. Two, three of those, you're fucking on your ass. So shout out to Hedy Roosevelt.
And you stopped weed? You don't know weed?
I smoked in Jamaica, but yeah, that's it. I stopped.
Which you're done. You're like sober now.
I thought it was going to be tough to smoke weed for 4 days and then come back, because every time I've done that, I've just jumped right back on the weed fucking train, and I feel good. I was so high and gluttonous that I was like, I don't want to feel that way.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling nice now.
Yeah, I don't think, and also with weed, it's just not the same physical addiction that booze is, so you're going to be able to get off it a little easier.
For me, no. For me, no. Booze was never really my demon. Weed was my fucking all day, every day since I was 17 years old, basically. It's been very rare that I haven't been getting fucking stoned. Because I loved it. The first time I smoked weed, I fell in love with it. Some people don't get high. I got higher than I've ever been in my entire life with my two best friends. We saw System of a Down, Incubus, Puya, Mr. Bungle that night. We saw a great concert. It was the whole experience
amazing.
Was like, wow, I've arrived.
It's magical.
Yeah, it was really nice.
I think the first time I got high was in my off a Gene Simmons bong. It was like a Gene Simmons. It was like a Kiss Russian Doll set.
Did you smoke out of his
tongue? It was unbelievable. Yeah, I forget. Like out of head of his cock, I think.
The carb was his yarmulke.
Two guests in studio today, Sean Donnelly, Dan St. Germain, the Burbs Bros podcast. Go subscribe to that and support that. These guys are fucking hilarious. I've known both of you cocksuckers for like 15 years at
least. Yes, long time.
Two fucking real pros, very pale, very gingery, gray in the beards now. You guys are old fucking men at this point.
Clearly, everything we've gotten is because of merit. If you look at our faces, we did not get the Matt Rife slipping.
Yeah, you guys are fucking
some of these guys
not attractive.
Well, I'm a acquired taste.
It's called
Thank
the
you.
Type. It's called the type. Okay, Lewis.
Type 2 diabetes.
The Matt Rife slipping does sound like the new like Houdini, or like one of those sex moves.
The Matt Rife slipping. Yeah. That's when you're a 300-pound guy who says you're Matt Rife in Kansas. That's and then you drug him.
That's when you're having sex with a girl and you ask her what her name is and what she does for a living.
And then you drop a mic on her head.
Yeah, and she didn't know she was being filmed.
So look, we have an incredible show. Lots of fun stuff to talk about on today's show. Shannon is not out, which is kind of depressing.
She's not out, or she
or
is
no,
out?
She is out. My head doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
Shannon's out today, which is kind of depressing. Who do we got? Do we got Jorge and Dom in the booth? Can we go to the Shannon cam?
Yeah. Hi. How are
you? Just not as attractive. We got Karen in the background. Terrible. I guess Karen will have to do. Karen will smash. Karen, can we sexually harass you today? She says she doesn't mind it. Karen wants a little bit of attention.
Of course.
Yeah, why
Women.
Not? Yeah.
A thumbs up, the universal symbol of please sexually harass me.
They don't mind it, you know? They really don't mind it. You know, I really do. There's a part of me that wishes that I did come up in like the fucking old school days. Just the days where you smack your waitress on the ass.
Just a woman chained to a radiator.
Yeah, call her toots.
Sweetie.
You know.
Yeah, sweetie, toots. Hun. Yeah. My dad used to say hun. We go to restaurants. Hun, can I get this? Hun, this.
I do. I do a lot of darling. To this day, I'll do a darling.
Yep.
Darling's a good one, though. I don't think darling really counts towards that, does it? Darling? I feel
it's
like
on
that's
the,
kinda...
It's on the
It's on the rape spectrum.
Do you feel like...
It's the first indicator
was
of
the working
culture.
Name of this podcast. The rape spectrum.
Do you feel like you're...
There's a slash in there.
Yeah.
I just feel like I'm Billy Bob Thornton in Landman. You ever seen Landman?
Never saw Landman.
That's all he says is darling. Darling? It's
darling,
pretty badass.
I stole it from... all of my speech patterns I steal from other people. I'll admit that right now. Edit this out so people won't call me on this in the future. But I'm not original. I'm a fucking hack.
Darling, is that from like Doc Holliday? Who's that from?
Darlin was from the guy who owned the comedy club ticket selling company when I first moved to New York City. His name was Mark Wigginton. And there
Vaguely
was a
sounds very southern actually.
The company was called New Genesis Marketing Solutions, and it was Mark and Emerson were the bosses. And Mark was this handsome guy who was maybe 25 at the time, and he would go out in the street and be like, "Hey, what's up, darling?" And he was very charming, and all these girls would fucking. And I stole darling from him, and I've been using it for over 20
years. Hi, darling.
Hey, darling. Ah! Hello, darling. I'm over here.
Wear suspenders.
I'm just not charming or smooth at all. Just yell at people on the street.
Running down the street.
I was a great comedy club ticket salesman. Great.
That's not something you brag about, but sure.
No, it was incredible.
I think I met you right after that, right? Because when you started comedy, I knew you did it, and then it was right after you were.
So
you
a lot of people think that I was... a lot of people think that I was... like barking, and I wasn't. I was never a bar. I never barked for stage time once in my entire life.
You were just selling tickets.
I was selling tickets for money, and I ran my own company that did that.
Right.
Because there's a difference, right? So back in the day, do they even have barkers anymore?
Yeah. Well, no. Well, yes.
They have in Midtown.
The West Village,
think,
they have
right?
The West Village.
Yeah. I mean, what a fucking absolute nightmare.
It sucks. I did it. It sucks. I did it when I was 6 months into comedy. I did it for Colin Kane's show.
Ooh, whatever happened to Colin Kane, that good looking son of a bitch?
Something happened.
What happened to Colin Kane?
Look him up. You can't. He's nowhere to be found, this fucking kid.
Abducted by aliens. Check out our podcast, Burbs Bros. We talk about aliens.
Dude, he has like no presence online.
Do you
I don't
remember
know.
Colin Kane?
Colin
he
Kane.
Was like the original bad boy. I think what
good looking, like kind of edgy.
I'll tell you what fucked him. He came out as like the good looking edgy guy, and then Jeselnik came out like 2 years later and is like, oh, this is like a good looking actual funny guy.
He was
guy.
Actually funny. Yeah.
So we're gonna go with him.
Yeah, Colin,
and then
he
just disappeared.
He was like, he originated like mailing lists. He was one of those guys. Like he had a huge mailing list of all hot chicks.
Yeah.
And he would fucking sell out Caroline's and he would do his fucking thing. This is him.
This is him.
This is not him. This,
this is
a
different
young
Colin Kane?
Homosexual twink.
Colin Stephen Kane.
But also handsome.
Yeah, also handsome.
If you tell you, go into the thing. This is a guy who should be all over the internet, and he's not.
Type
I think
in Colin Kane comedy and see what happens. See what comes up.
That's
yeah,
him.
That's him.
That's him.
This is him. Yeah, yeah, go to the headshot with the microphone in his hand. That's the one I remember. This fucking, he looks like Homelander. He's fucking...
He does. He looks like Homelander.
And that's that's what I'm saying. Like, there's no... That's him from at least 18 years ago.
He's like if Homelander wasn't funny.
Shots fired.
Home jokes don't lander.
Not lander. None of this is landering.
I don't remember his act at all. I mean, I remember it was just kind of like
it was
edgelordy, like
yeah,
but like pretty hardcore edgelord, like pretty like to the point where it was just after a while you're like, are you okay?
Yeah.
It was like, what did your mom do?
Well, when you're that good looking and he's like in shape and you're like that like aggressive with it, you're like, dude, like fucking chill. Yeah. You don't need to be that. It's like American Psycho vibes. You're like,
yes.
He was like fucking, you know, fucking, I can't say this, it's probably illegal to just start saying crazy things, but he was probably punching women in the face.
Oh my God.
While he
say allegedly at the end.
Yeah. Allegedly. That's what I would assume he does to women is he has sex with them and he like makes them like strip and he wants them to like smear makeup on their face while he just looks at them with his microphone.
Like that kind of vibe. That kind of vibe.
Which for guys like us, you're like, that makes sense. But a guy like that, you're like, you're a sick fuck, dude. You got it all.
Yeah, well, they think
you don't need to do that.
They think that we're going to be the crazy ones, but us, it's like minute and a half on top, we're done.
No, I'm just happy to be there.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Please. Thank you so much for
letting me. I'm the one smeared with makeup.
Thank you for letting me penetrate.
You did fuck
here.
A clown.
So he was like on the rise. Maybe he still is. Maybe he's just working the road. Who knows? But that's one of the first and only barking thing I had was, it's actually a pretty good deal. You'd bark for his show. He would go up to a half hour and then put the barkers after him. But at least 30, 40 people would stick around. So 6 months in,
that's great.
It's like a real show.
And he didn't believe in you as a barker, right?
No, I almost, all right, real quick, I'll tell you what happened. We almost got into a fight.
Well, he actually thought you were a bulldog. He's like, you're not barking at all.
He full on, one time this girl that I was like trying to go out with, so I was like, oh, I'm a comic, I work these shows. She brought her friend and they were loaded and he kicked them out because they were like interrupting
drunk.
Him.
Drunk,
and rightfully so. And I went outside and they're like, we're drunk, we're so sorry. I'm like, you just can't do that. Whatever, I'll see you. I'll talk to you soon, whatever.
So funny that people just don't know that. Like, that aren't part of the comedy sphere.
I know.
They're like, they'll come to a show, they'll get drunk, they'll start like heckling. They're like, what? Why am I not allowed to do this? They have no idea that that's not acceptable.
Exactly. Yeah. So the following week, he's like, I heard you knew those girls I kicked out last week. And I was like, yeah, but I was about to say, I get it. That's your shit. And he goes, fucking white trash sluts.
No.
And I was like, you don't know how I know them, dude. And it got real contentious. And
so
that
you,
was it.
You didn't really know them that well, but he didn't know that you didn't know them that well.
Could've
so
my
it
cousins.
Was almost that's such a dude thing. Where you're like, you ever walking down the street with a girl that's not your girlfriend, and then somebody like catcalls her, and you're like, bro, you don't know that that's not my girlfriend.
Yeah, yes.
Now I have to fucking kill you. Now we're in a fucking fight because you're just disrespecting me.
Yeah. So it got tense for a couple seconds, and then we almost got into it even more, and then I just stopped barking for him.
Yeah.
And then he went to L.A. or something.
Yeah, he must have. I don't know what fuck happened to that guy. Who else disappeared from the comedy scene?
I think there's a decent amount. I mean, the people that are the most interesting, I always say this, are the ones that
Greg Giraldo,
like,
he disappeared.
Vince Champ.
Richard Jenny really disappeared himself hard. Right? He disappeared himself right in the mouth. I think it's like the people that were funny, but they weren't great. They weren't like bad. It's just, they were okay. They were pretty fun. They could have been. Those are the people I think drop out the most.
Well, the pandemic cleared the table with a lot of people where you're like, you see certain people, and I don't have any ill will toward these people, so I won't name names, but there's a few people where you're like, they were just never going to do it. And then COVID came and it was like, all right, we'll move on to the next thing. And also, if you didn't want it that bad, if a global pandemic was enough to make you stop doing comedy, how much did you really want it?
There was a guy before pandemic, I forget how many years, you probably remember this guy. He was never big, but in New York people knew him. this guy Kyle Finchem. Remember Kyle Finchem?
I remember Kyle.
He was a good looking guy as well, and he was pretty funny as well. But he was like, "Hey, I'm just not. My heart's not in it." And he's like a personal trainer now, or whatever it is. But he's a guy who's like, "I'm out." Like most people don't do that. Like they get like it's pandemic, or like they just don't get spots, and whatever it is. Nobody like full on is like, "I'm."
I've tried to get out, and I keep. This is the only place that'll have me. So
you go out, you explore the other side.
I go out, like, explore the other side. They're like, "No, you're better over there for sure. Yeah, you're better over there."
All right, let's take a quick moment and thank Mando for supporting today's show. We love Mando, total body deodorant, not just for your armpits anymore, but you guys can use it anywhere, in your balls, your grundle, your back, behind your knees, the flaps underneath your tits. Anywhere you can stink, Mando has you covered, and they have great products, not just roll-on deodorant, but spray deodorant, cream deodorant, tube deodorant, lots of different products that are absolutely great, and we love Mando. They support this show. We support them.
And, Lou, you know how I feel about the body wipes. If you're traveling, if you're in the car, if you're on a plane, sometimes you're a dude, and if you're a chick, you got to freshen up those certain areas, and those wipes really help. And we actually have a great deal to hook you guys up.
Yeah, if you guys want to check out Mando, grab their starter pack. It includes a solid stick deodorant, a cream tube deodorant, and two products of your choice, like the mini body wash or the deodorant wipes that Zach was just talking about. And you're going to get free shipping. So all you got to do is go to shopmando.com, use the promo code LAZ. That'll let them know that we sent you. You're going to get $5 off your starter pack. So once again, shopmando.com, use that promo code LAZ for $5 off. All right, where were we? Yeah, best advice I've ever gotten in comedy was just keep showing up.
Yeah.
It was by Joey Gay, who, once again, I have no idea where he's at.
I saw him recently.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Where is it? What's he doing?
He's doing, I think he's doing
Pete Davidson.
He opens
movie,
for Pete
right?
Davidson. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just kind of crazy. It's like opening for, like, no offense, I love Pete and I love Joey. They're both great, right?
Yeah.
But opening for I still see Pete as a young boy.
Yeah.
But being like a 50-year-old man opening for a boy that is, you know, 25, 20 years your junior, it's like opening for your girlfriend. It's kind of crazy. You can't do that. You can't be a man opening for a woman. That's psychotic.
that's where you draw the line.
That's fucking bonkers. If you are a man that is opening for a fucking woman, you need to seriously reconsider who the fuck you are in this world.
Yeah, what does everybody sit backwards and the club hands them money? God, we're doing this all wrong here.
Everyone sits on their chair like AC Slater.
Yeah. I wonder if you give the club two drinks.
there is people that open. There's comics that are open up for guys that are open up for girls.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, we're shitting on them.
You came out like a scientist. Yeah. Right? I've heard through the records that some of these women are headlining now. No, I'm surprised their tits don't knock the microphone down.
I would never. No matter how big the female comic was, no matter how big the opportunity, I would never open up for. That's not true.
That's
no. I opened for Carly Acalino back in the day.
I opened for Carly Acalino too.
And she was. It was all girl code fans. They fucking hated me, dude. Oh my
God. The same exact thing.
I did okay, but they were like, I did well, and they were almost begrudging, like, oh, that's all right, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
And then she came out, and the fucking Def Jam reaction she got.
Oh, yeah.
She literally goes, like, do you guys just want to, like, see my shoes? And everyone is, whoa, my God. I took off her shoes and showed it, and I was like,
I want to see her shoes. You said that?
Are they doing better than my best?
I guarantee you just heard one shoe is doing better than anything I've ever done.
Yeah.
Just one shoe.
Yeah. So, but I don't, yeah, no, I
she was a fucking smoke show back then.
Absolutely.
Oh my God. Good for her.
Is she still doing
this? She's a sweetheart.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. We talked about getting her on Story Wars.
Wasn't the legend was that she was dating Chris, and then they went to an audition, and they were like, "Who are you?" Yeah. Just like, well,
she was a hairdresser.
She was just
a fucking hot ass hairdresser.
Just so so gorgeous. Yeah.
Good for her. Good for him. Good for all of them.
Good for everybody.
We have a great show. A lot of stuff to talk about. We're 17 minutes in. We haven't even gotten into the show. That was the intro to the show. That's how fucking good we are at podcasting. Well, hey, you got to fix the shadow behind Zach. I understand that you're going to need like 8 sources of light to get Zach completely lit the right way, but we got to figure that. I mean, what is this? Come on, we can do it better than this, Jorge.
That's like Zach's aura. Zach's aura looks a lot like asbestos.
Look how great they are. They look fucking great. You know, Jorge, explain yourself.
It must be that one light's doing it or something.
Yeah, it's because there's more room behind them to put light sources. But you guys sit closer to the screen. Like, you guys can touch the screen.
You're a fucking piece of
but
shit.
But they have
Jorge.
To, like, sit back.
Are you fat shaming Zach?
Because we sit closer, Lewis.
No, it's because you have too big of a table in there in the wrong place.
Well, why don't we move the table that way a little bit? Jorge, fix this.
That's a you one.
No. It's not a me thing. It's a you thing. It's my job to delegate responsibilities, and here I am.
If I'm allowed to move furniture, then I'm
allowed to make it not look like that. Okay. As long as it doesn't look like fucking death is creeping up on Zach at all times.
Still fuck you.
Yeah.
You're like,
what is up with this? There's a New York City rat eater.
I saw that. I won't watch the video. I saw the article.
I would love it. Can we see the video? There's somebody, I'm assuming, just from the context of the sentence, somebody in New York City is eating rats.
Yeah, it was in the Bronx.
I feel like that's going to be less typical the way. Less atypical.
I mean, rats are just fucking rodents, right? You know, you can eat rodents, you can eat squirrels, you can eat fucking... When I watch, like, Alone or...
Alone's great.
Alone's great. But they'll set up, like, rock traps that kill rats, and they fucking eat those rats.
Yeah, but those are, like, country rats. Or, like, you know, like rats of the wild.
Do you think that these rats are... I mean,
I feel like they're much dirtier.
They eat cockroaches and shit. They are disgusting creatures.
And they carry more diseases.
It's like the difference between eating pigeon and pheasant.
Mm. Right. Exactly. Like, that's why it's fucking
If you're in the
nasty.
Wild, you're going to eat a pigeon, too. You'll eat anything.
I would. Yeah, in the wild, especially in Alone, they are the real deal in Alone.
Yeah, they're no joke.
Yeah, this guy was the Alone of the Bronx.
Go ahead. Let's see this guy. And it's a non-cooked rat.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's just a raw rat that he found in the ground.
Raw rat. It's dead already.
Dead now, but I don't believe it was dead when he found it.
I mean,
he killed it?
Yeah, because in the beginning, you can sort of see him sort of snap it.
Like Trump doesn't want to talk about anyone eating animals on the street unless they're immigrants. Yeah. you're from Teaneck? Let's not talk about you.
Or RFK.
Yeah,
or
RFK. Yeah.
Let's see. Hold on. Is there any more?
The fucking abs RFK has.
He's tearing meat from this rat's body right now. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, he opened it up and now he's sort of just taking all the good parts.
So well, I thought they said that he put it up to his. Does he put it up to his face at one point? Like, I gotta say. Chunk?
Yes, sir.
These women are fucking.
Yeah. I love how they're like, oh my God, I can't believe this. It's like, but you're still filming.
Oh, I would film the fuck out of this guy.
To be fair, he's eating a rat in the least crazy way that I would have thought a rat eater. You know, I thought you'd be like, ah! He's like picking it like shellfish.
Yeah.
I believe some of you missed that, but he.
Good, pull it up. Pull it back up.
He goes straight into it.
There you go.
Oh, there's fucking meat.
Yeah, that's some sort of like intestine, some sort of.
Sean.
Oh my God. Also, all right.
Is not an adventurous eater, so he's about to throw up right now.
Jorge, what would you rather do? Take a little nibble of rat meat or suck on Jake's toe like that guy did the other day at Legion of Skanks?
Oh, I would suck on Jake's toe like just for fun. Those
no,
look
you
so
wouldn't.
Delicious.
Stop it.
Well, yeah, we have like, some jerk seasoning right here. I'm chilling.
They're like Fritos.
Yeah, you're
delicious.
You're there's no way.
Is this DeRosa?
No. That we have one of our interns has the nastiest feet in the world, and at Legion of Skanks, a fan sucked on his. I mean, I'm talking about like decrepit, fucking over the top. Fungusy toe.
Yeah.
And a fan sucked on it for
Skank. It looks like a monkey's paw or something.
It's actually debatable if I'd rather take a little nibble of rat meat. If I knew it wasn't going to give me a disease, I unquestionably would rather eat a nibble of rat meat over his toe.
But how about this? You have to do it that way, though. Like in raw. Full view of everybody. Raw and in full view of everybody in the Bronx. You have to be in the Bronx
That's a lot. Having Puerto Rican girls videotape you nasty motherfucker.
It's just if you created Impractical Jokers. That's what the show is. Somebody in a secret camera.
In all fairness, it makes sense to have it raw. Because what is tartar if not rat backwards?
God damn it, Zach. You deserve some sound effect
for that. Rat.
Some sort of a sound effect for that.
Tartar is rat backwards. I love it. How did your mind even go there, Zach? How would your mind even go to rat tartar? Like, I don't even understand the gymnastic that you did to get there.
Well, thank you for admitting I do gymnastics. Yeah,
clearly, there was no gymnastics.
So the officials are seeking to help this rat eater. They're not looking to put him down. Because I would say kill on sight. I would say get snipers on the fucking rooftops.
You know
see this guy blast his fucking
Can we get him a job with animal control?
He may say that. He may say that. He may say kill on sight. Like if he saw that video of himself.
The guy?
Yeah. Like, well, all right, I'm ready.
Yeah, he's like, that's a rock bottom. Everybody has their rock bottom, and we just saw that.
No, that might be beyond. That might be schizophrenia.
Yeah, I don't think that's
so you would eat
bottom.
Out of the garbage before you ate a rat.
But if you were hungry, the way that he eats it is not schizophrenic. If schizophrenia, it would have been like how Dan's that, where he's like,
no, but I think there's something, there's a screw loose. It's not just hunger.
Yeah,
that's
he
not
thinks
hunger.
He's a vampire or something.
You can find fucking food, yeah,
he can still be schizophrenic, but I mean, it was, but to Sean's point, it was a, he ate it very politely. You know, like,
well, he wasn't.
It's one of like those checkered napkins.
Yeah.
He wasn't hurting anybody. He was just fucking, except for the red. He wasn't.
What he needs is to find his homeless lady, and then they can lady in the trampet.
If your job was to walk through the city watching crazy shit, you may not even notice that.
Yeah, no, you
like
wouldn't.
Because
I would. I don't look at homeless people, so I would never notice it. Yeah. I'd be like, ew. Did the New York Post put this on the front page, and was their caption "Rat Tat Ooey"? Because that's a very New York Post sort of.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's just like the tartar situation. Yeah.
I'm more of a tartard. What happened with Tracy Morgan? Was he drunk at the basketball game? What's happening here?
He posted
the
no
idea
food
what that was.
He had food poisoning.
Food poisoning is the ultimate like excuse, which I've had food poisoning and used it as an excuse too. But it is.
He posted a picture from the hospital and he said he had food poisoning.
Okay, well that's better than just getting absolutely hammered. He puked everywhere.
Yeah, he was sitting next to Steven Spielberg's daughter.
Was there a video or just a picture?
Oh, he was.
There has to be a video.
There's video.
Right?
There's video.
Let's see.
He just starts.
He looks.
Up there, you go.
That's exactly what you'd think Steven Spielberg's daughter would look like, by the way.
Steven Spielberg's daughter is a giant black guy?
You know, a couple years ago, that would have been the highlight of the Knicks game. I remember I was outside the stand once and Tracy Morgan was there and it was like spring and he's like, oh, it's that type of weather. You just take your dick out in the car and just start jerking off. And I was like, that's not like a type of weather, man. That's just a crime. But
That's why it's such a story, because that's like, somebody watched that video and was like, oh, Tracy being Tracy.
Well, that's what I thought it was. I thought it was a Tracy moment, Tracy Morgan moment, where he was like just drunk. He was like, I'm just going to vomit on this court.
Vomit on this basketball court.
Yeah. That's wild. I don't think I've ever vomited in public.
I'm sure I've vomited.
I have.
Public.
I've done it like on the on the street, yeah.
You can get Sean to vomit right now if you show that video enough.
I mean, I'm not a big vomiter. Most of my vomiting was, you know, binging on cocaine and alcohol next morning on at the toilet. Something about just fucking having your face in the toilet vomiting and everything splashing back in your face.
That's not a
so nasty.
Great feeling.
It's not a great feeling. There's no worse feeling. The worst feeling on earth is getting up. You're doing coke all night. You haven't gone to bed. The sun is out. You hear birds chirping and doing another line. That is the
it's so dark. I remember I did that once.
It's really dark.
It was at my friend's place, and he was across from like a fucking high school, and we watched the school buses with kids pull in. While we were all I was like, this is a fucking
all right. Sounds like a fun night, my friend.
It's like a scene from Trainspotting.
The worst is I would too, and then like to try to go to sleep, I would take like Tylenol PM or Advil PM.
Oh yeah.
And then you'd wake up, and then those hangovers are the worst, because it's cocaine, booze, and Advil PM.
Well, I would go when I was doing like binging on coke, I would go, you know, about 2:30, 3 a.m.
Yeah.
I would go to a local bodega. I'd be like, all right, let me get two packs of NyQuil. And I would have four NyQuil. And that's how I would I was like, all right, this is it. Once they put me out, I'm out. And
yeah.
Very, very, very dark, very depressing.
You know what does it now is
I never did coke like fun. Now, I don't know. I can count on one hand the amount of times that I did coke in like a fun way where I'm like with people partying. It was always by myself. It was always dark. It was always hiding it from people. It was always like...
Interesting.
And I'm not drinking. I'm still smoking pot from time to time. But I have, unless I'm drinking, I only have urges for coke. Like, I've never been sober and been like, man, I really just would love a line right now. You know? Like, I can't imagine anything grosser than just being on cocaine
and
nothing else.
Yeah, cocaine's just the fucking worst. Cocaine Sunrise is a great name for a band.
Great name for
Cocaine
me.
Sunrise.
Or a drink.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Like a hard seltzer.
Yeah.
Cocaine Sunrise is a great name for a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know what? Trademark that. That's going to be something.
It's my finisher.
What's your finisher now?
I'll fucking get punched.
Yeah.
I've never hit an offensive maneuver in my life.
Spoken like a true valet manager.
Oh, man. All right. So what's going on with this Happy Gilmore 2 trailer? I haven't seen it. I'd love to watch it. Is it good? Does it look good or does it look bad?
It'll probably be just be do that thing where it's not as good as the first one, but it'll be like, fun. Yeah. It's like nostalgic fun. That's how I'm watching it no matter what. There's nothing that'll stop me from watching it.
No, so that movie was my favorite Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah.
Probably to this day, it's still is.
My favorite.
It's so good.
It doesn't hold up the same way. It's funny. I watched it with my son. It is definitely funny still. But me and my sister cackled at that movie like
when you were like 15.
I mean, I had never laughed at anything in my entire life.
It's funny you say that because I think that's what we were with. Oh, I'm sorry. It's funny you say that because I think that's where we were with Caddyshack. Like, we watched it and our parents is like, this is the fucking greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
And I think it's great. I think it's really funny. But I'm like, I don't know about the greatest thing.
It has really great moments, but it's like, but when you're coming of age, that's what they say about SNL. They're like, when you're 12, that's the cast that you think is the best.
Yeah, you're never going to like comedy more than when you were 13 or 14.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's because whatever it is, you're just ready to giggle at the fucking world. Granted, I did watch Austin Powers 1 and 2 with my son, and he kind of rolls his eyes at it.
Interesting.
And I cackled my dick off.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
the
scene where they unfreeze him and he has to pee.
Yeah,
and they keep on being like, you know, bladder, evacuate, bladder, evacuate. And he keeps on going.
Yeah, there's a lot of good bits in that.
Oh, great.
Bits in that.
There's also, like, they're weirdly, like, it's like kind of, like, self-aware, like, purposely bombing, which I love. Like, that's, like, my whole style of comedy. And purposely bombing.
In the last 15 years, it's a lot of purpose.
Oh, yeah, dude, a lot on purpose. But,
a very purposeful person.
Yeah, it was. He liked it. He's way in, but he's fucking. You know, maybe it's also. I think it makes him uncomfortable. There's so much sexuality in it. Like, it's such a, like.
And he's watching
it
with his dad.
He's watching it with his pops. So.
I could see that being. I think. I think Happy. I haven't seen the preview, but I'm guessing it's going to be like Anchorman 2, where you're like, this is funny, but
not
it's just,
as good.
You know, it's trying to capture lightning in a bottle.
I imagine they could just fucking make it funnier, and they can. There's a path to making a better movie.
But he's at the point where it's like he can do no wrong. He has that deal, right? And he's gazillionaire. He has so much money. And he's like making movies with his buddies. There's nobody there that's like, hey, you need this to be amazing. So like for your career or what, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's like, I think it's funny. My friends do. We just put it out. And if you guys like it, you like it. If you don't, we'll just make another one.
I would just want to put out fucking great shit.
Right. Totally.
I wouldn't want to take a step back. I wouldn't want to, especially with a brand like Happy Gilmore, which was such a great movie.
Yeah.
Like, I would want to be like, oh, no, when we put out a sequel, I'm going to get the best writers. Because all you're going to do is hire the best writers.
Yeah.
Adam's very
good to his people.
Yeah.
So I think it's like, he doesn't ever have to work again, but he's got a lot of fucking mouths to feed.
And I think he thinks it, when he's putting it out, I think he thinks it's like, hey, this is great.
Well, I think we also watch what happened to a lot of people, which is they went from making movies for them and their friends to making movies for their kids.
Yes. Yeah,
yeah,
they did.
That is true.
Those murder mystery.
That's a great point. Yeah.
But I mean, dude, if you shut your brain off, Hubie Halloween, pretty fucking
fun. Yeah.
Pretty fun.
And I've said this before, so I won't harp on this point. Adam Sandler, just in general, same thing with Jim Carrey. They just, that whole, like, I'm a retard character as like a main movie character. I have a hard time getting past it. I'm like,
so
Happy Gilmore he was kind of a normal dude.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But like Waterboy, it was a fucking retard. He played a retarded guy.
Like,
Little Nicky was like this retarded, weird character.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, so, it's tough because you're seeing this guy, Adam Sandler, be the opposite of retarded for like 15 years.
Right.
And just make money and money. And then he plays like a dumb guy. And you're like, you're not really fucking this. We just saw you fucking kill.
I have a hard time suspending and I just get annoyed. I would be annoyed if I had to hang out with fucking Ace Ventura in real life. You're like, stop talking to me with your asshole, buddy. What are we? Are you fucking 35? What are you doing?
It is weird when you meet comics like that. I've met a couple where I'm like, oh fuck, this isn't gonna happen.
Oh, just like
this
a bit night, constantly
this whole,
on.
This whole night's a fucking bit.
I feel like Jim Carrey might be a tough one. That's completely based on when they did the funeral for Bob Saget at the store.
Oh, what did he do?
He's just like on stage in a fur coat, but like everyone's trying to tell stories, and he's on stage at the Comedy Store for the first time in 30 years, and he really makes it about him.
Jesus. Yeah, he seems like he's an ass. You know, the other thing that I hate that he did is that, remember his whole origin story was like, when I was starting out in comedy, I wrote myself a $1 million check and said I'm going to cash it one day. And then he becomes this huge, huge celebrity, famous, you know, comedic actor. And then now he's doing things where he's like, it's all bullshit. Why? Because you have $500 million? Right.
Is that his quote? Which it may not even be a real quote, where it's just like, if you're not willing to downgrade your life for a year, something, something, something. What is it?
I don't know. I don't know the quote. But
I've seen that quote a lot.
What is that quote? Look up the quote, Jorge. It's by Jim Carrey, and it's something about downgrading your life for a year. It's like, yeah, if you're worth $100 million, downgrading to $50 million is not that fucking...
yeah.
If you're not willing to downgrade your lifestyle for a year to have the lifestyle you want forever, you care too much about what other people think. I don't even understand what that fucking means.
Well, but it's interesting about, like Jim Carrey couldn't work at E-Trade. Do you know what I mean? He couldn't do a normal job. He's just too fucking magnetic. And
yeah.
Like, so I think that, like, this was the option for him. Like, it was like, yeah, this was the smartest thing that you could have done. But.
And he came up on In Living Color, which was also doesn't hold up at all. And I loved In Living Color.
No, In Living Color does not hold up at all.
It's all just like basic, like, fucking broad strokes on homophobia and stuff.
1,000%.
That's basically it.
Like,
right?
Like, what is it? Guys on Film, whatever it's called. It's when you're a kid, you're sitting there like, this is hilarious. It's still like, they're funny guys, but it's like never in a million years would it happen.
I mean, Homie the Clown was like, as a kid, I was like, oh, Homie the Clown, oh, Homie, don't play that.
Yeah.
There's nothing funny about Homie the Clown at all.
No, it was just an asshole clown.
It wasn't good.
He's fucking with the kids.
I have one on the podcast.
Yep. Homo the Clown.
All right, let's take a quick moment to thank Cornbread for supporting today's show. Cornbread is full-spectrum CBD gummies. They got watermelon, they got berry, they got peach, they got it all. And I'll tell you right now, a lot of people are trading in the alcohol, trading in the bottle for hemp and for THC. It's a way better way to be. They have one-to-one THC to CBD gummies, which are absolutely great. I take the nighttime ones, which are 25 milligrams of CBD and 1 milligram of THC because I'm not smoking. Put me right to bed. They taste fucking great. Genuinely great product.
They only use the best part of the hemp plant, the flower, for the purest and most potent CBD. They're formulated to help relieve discomfort, stress, and sleeplessness. And all the products are third-party lab-tested and USDA organic to ensure safety and purity. And we have a deal for you guys.
Just go right now to cornbreadhemp.com. That's the website, cornbreadhemp.com/LAZ. And use the promo code LAZ when you check out. You're going to get 30% off your first order, which is a fucking huge deal. Try them out. You're going to fall in love with Cornbread Hemp. We did. Cornbreadhemp.com/LAZ. Use that code LAZ for 30% off. All right, where were we?
And Shaq interviewed Damon Wayans really recently, and Shaq's like,
man, you know who I love? Handyman.
I saw that. I saw
that.
They
did a Handyman movie. You remember that?
Nope. You've done this already.
They did make a Handyman movie.
You're thinking of
Blank Man.
I am thinking of Blank Man. You're right. Man, we had this conversation about 7 years ago on the Real Ass Podcast.
Yes. Yep. I want to say about a year ago, and you were talking about the Handyman.
That was more than
movie.
A year ago, unquestionably. I remember this. This is a long time ago, very long time.
Then we've had it again since
maybe.
Then.
Maybe. We repeat a lot of content.
It happens.
Have movies gotten funnier or less funny? I think overall they've gotten, like, laugh out loud funnier. Like, 40-Year-Old Virgin is fucking laugh out loud funny. When, what's it called? Bachelor? What's not Bachelor Party? What's it fucking called?
The Hangover.
The Hangover was, I mean, so fucking funny when it came out.
They don't make them anymore. It's hard to even answer that question because this was like 2023.
Even that's like 20 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, those movies are
2023 or 2022, and the only I was looking at top 100. There was like one movie that wasn't a franchise. That was just a standalone comedy, and that was like Bottoms, and that was like 97. That was not a big movie.
Yeah.
You know, like the other closest was like Barbie or something like that. You know,
well,
like
that's also
movie.
Not even a funny. It's not even a funny movie. It's a brand that has kind of like
funny
elements
like
to
Beetlejuice.
It.
Yeah, like something like that.
Okay, I will say, as much as the R-rated comedy does not exist, Stavi's new movie, very funny.
Oh, okay.
Let's Start a Cult. And then I will say, really funny, Ricky Stenicki, the John Cena.
Oh, I heard that's really good.
I've read that because I helped Jermaine, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, good. Go to the bathroom.
But yeah, this I haven't seen the cult one because me and this Zach Bornstein writer for SNL were developing a cult thing forever, and then I was like, ah, fuck, you know what I mean? And so I'm like, this is probably good.
I guess that's what it's like. So the movies, especially because now movies are in the theaters for like 2 weeks. That's it. Yes. There's no like real upside to fucking even making a movie at this point. So it's everything is like big, over the top superhero movies. Like that's what people want to fucking see. That's what I want to see in the movies. I don't want to go see a romantic comedy at the fucking movies. That stinks.
You want an event, you know? And I think that that's where a lot of, I think the big problem too, is that like, you can get your comedy fix from a phone. You can't get your drama fix from a phone. Like, yeah. I can't watch an entire I can watch an entire episode of Succession, but I'm not going to see a 2-minute clip of Succession that's going to give me the whole experience of that episode.
Right.
With comedy, like, you see a guy getting hit in the nuts, it's the same. It comes from the same area that The Hangover was. It's just, you know, The Hangover's more refined,
right.
But it's the same human need. So I just think that we've kind of like programmed our way out of the 2-hour comedy.
A little bit. I force my son to just not watch YouTube all day because he doesn't watch, like, he's not watching like complete brain rot. Like, there's like certain shit where it's just like,
there's some good stuff on YouTube.
Literally people like just scraping paint out of a bucket and that's it. That's the whole video is like a guy scraping the side of a bucket to get the paint out of it. And kids are just watching that and going like, and I know the same way that our parents would be like, oh, you're watching this trash on MTV. It's just, it's like, but no, it's not. Like,
it's interesting.
It's fuck. It's a dude. It's really wild.
That's because it's like they're watching a meditation.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like satisfying or whatever that is. There's like, you know, it'll just be like, you know, 1,000 Orbeez in a pool and somebody jumps in it. And you're like, that's the whole video.
I think it's just now. Well, my wife and her mom, they just watch like this couple, like fucking refurnishing homes and stuff, and that's their.
Well, I watch that. That's I the watch thing. House Hunters renovations is kind of my shit.
It would be the next if I book one more job, it'll be my shit. But right now, it's not my shit because I'm like, ah, fuck, I'm not gonna rent.
It bums you out to watch
until. House but Hunters. Hopefully, the next thing. Hopefully, then I will. Then I can watch all those shows. And
hell yeah, happy. Dude. Yeah,
especially Orange County, you can get a reasonable home, not too bad.
Upstate, that's where you're at.
I'm not. I'm in Stamford, Connecticut right now.
But, oh, you're in Stamford. Yeah. I just did that comedy club there. Great club.
Yeah, New York Comedy Club. It's like a, you know, it's Stamford is almost. It's like a weird. It's like a road city in near New York. Like every time you're on the road, you're like, oh yeah, there's the comedy club, the Barnes and Noble, the sushi place, the. Yeah. Build-A-Bear, you know.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I had a good time there. Shout out to Stamford New York Comedy Club. Great club. What's going on, Sean?
What?
How are you, man? We were just discussing. He was telling me you have health problems now. What's going on?
No, I just almost shit my pants.
No, he was just saying there's some real, like.
So, yeah, I'm dying. Yeah. Remember that? My Ari told everybody I died.
Ari told everyone you died?
Ari told everyone you died?
Yeah, one time he told everybody I died. And then people were sending messages being like.
To you?
I do that once a month with Zach. Anytime Zach's not on the show, I'm like, guys, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a fun call to get from my dad. A panicked phone call.
Yeah.
Your dad's like, ah, I got my hopes up.
Yeah.
Like,
Shannon, show us this trailer.
Shannon's at home.
Whatever your name is.
Blame Shannon. SpongeBob? What is that? What's with the beaver teeth?
Oh, that's the Dwayne Wade joke.
I haven't swung a club in years. I'm a little intimidated. All these guys hit it big now. I don't know where to start.
Come on, brother. Grip it and rip it.
I guess I need to update my happy place to something a little more age appropriate.
Oh, she came back? Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, they brought Blake back, too.
Mr. Gilmore? Holy shit.
I'll say right now, I'm watching it and I'm enjoying the trailer. All they needed to do was have Ben Stiller and fucking...
I know.
Let's go.
It's a good trailer, but they avoid jokes. They it's avoid, just memory. It's like, remember this, remember this, remember
yeah,
this.
All member berries.
We'll
it's, yeah, they.
I am so sorry.
Maybe like Shooter McGavin. You can't have
they showed Shooter.
Yeah.
But the smart thing is they didn't have him talk.
Yeah. Because
the thing everyone wants to see, I think, is Shooter McGavin.
Yeah.
And him. So they never showed them even in the same room.
Yeah. Haven't got the interactions. Everybody wants another you eat pieces of shit for breakfast.
No. He doesn't need to put out a good movie. It just needs to sort of... It'll be exciting for us, but you know,
I think he's got a good thing now where he has his production companies for the Adam Sandler type movies, and then when he wants to do like a Scorsese movie or a fucking, this is the Safdie movie, the Uncut Gems, he can just go off and do that.
Yeah.
Well, I watched Axel, speaking of like nostalgia, that I just recently watched, it came out last year, I guess, but I watched the Axel F, the Beverly Hills Cop one. I'm like, it's technically not great, but I'm like, as long as you put the nostalgia in there, I'm like on board.
Well, so Coming to America was a steaming pile of shit. Coming to America too, like it was maybe the worst fucking sequel I've ever seen of any movie ever.
I did punch up on that, so I can't comment.
Did you really?
I did a little for somebody, but hey, I didn't fucking create it, so whatever.
Drama llama's here. Sorry.
Did at any point in the script writing process anyone go, why are the old men the same age?
They just gave me, like, literally, it was somebody that was in it, and they gave me the pages they were in, and then none of my shit was used. So,
wow.
Yeah. And then they. But then,
Jermaine?
Yes.
Yeah. Jermaine's a man.
Yeah.
Jermaine's very funny.
It's just hard with those movies, man.
It's just bad. It was just poorly done. What do you want me to say? Just,
it's just classics.
I just don't understand it. You have an unlimited amount of money. Just hire really good writers. No offense, Dan. Just hire good writers.
They actually didn't use me. But,
no, I know. But I can't wrap my head around why you wouldn't just hire a bunch of great writers and then have a check and balance system where everyone's going like, no, this is objectively. We all know what funny is, right?
I think, but think about what the vibe must be. So Eddie Murphy gets final say, right? It's like there's nobody going in there going, this stinks, as they're doing it. Maybe to each other. But there's no, even with a bunch of great writers, it's hard to make, to get that same type of like.
And even if it's all great writers, you got to have, every producer wants their finger in on it. The director wants to have their spin on it. It's a too many cooks.
It's
situation.
Too many cooks. Yeah.
And ratings, every year ratings get, for the most part, like 10% less. They were bleeding at that rate. I don't know if they are anymore. But like when that happens, when you're bleeding so much, then the natural thing is, all right, let's find the problem. So fucking, we'll fix this. We'll get rid of this. We'll fix. And they over decision make, essentially.
Yeah. It's very, very strange. I just don't understand, like, when there's that much money involved with a project, how it could bomb. I don't
that,
even know.
That is the problem, though. It's so much money that they want to make it as middle of the road as possible. So there's many people say it.
Yeah.
Let's do some plugs real quick. We're 45 minutes in today's show. We're fucking trucking here. Great show so far. Go listen to the Burbs Bros podcast with Sean Donnelly, Dan St. Germain. Obviously, great fucking podcast. Great guys. Great comedians. Known them a long time. Support these motherfuckers. What are you plugging besides that?
I will be in April. I'll be in a Comedy Vault, and then next week I'll be at Saratoga Springs at the Comedy Works, and then at Shawnee Time on Instagram.
Very cool. Very cool. Dan, what are you doing, my friend?
Come out today.
This is out live right now, and then it'll be out, I think, on Saturday everywhere else.
All right. Well, I'm nothing really. I'm back doing stand up. I'm doing Fairfield Comedy Circle and the Comedy Cellar on Saturday night, and just subscribe to Burbs Bros. Follow us if you like. This UAPs and supernatural topics, that's all we talk about over there. And we have last podcast on the left, guys, this week, so check it out.
Very cool. Zach Amico.
Hey, guys, you can go on my Instagram to see all my dates, but the best way to do it is my new website, punchup.live/Zach Amico, and I'm going to be in Canada April 3rd in Ottawa, April 4th in Montreal, April 5th in Cornwall, April 6th in Alexandria, Ontario, and April the 11th in Golden, Colorado. And once again, punchup.live/Zach Amico for all those tickets.
You didn't think that it was necessary to put the Lewis and Zach show in your bio on punchup.live?
I think that's my old bio.
It was pretty offensive. For me, anyway. I did visit your punchup live page.
I did not know that.
Because I support you, and I love you. And I was like, oh, cool, Zach's Punch-Up Live page is up. And I clicked on it, gave him a click-a-roo, wanted to just fucking see what it looked like. And not one mention.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, no, I know.
He's monitoring.
Also, you know.
I didn't write that.
Well, that's retarded. It's Comedy Central and True TV. Like, nobody gives a shit about those credits. You'd actually get more love for being on Kill Tony and Legion of Skanks in the bio. Clubs still don't get that. You'll go out to the club and they put up a big poster and they're like, fucking last comic standing, Comedy Central. Mm-hmm. Like, these credits mean absolutely nothing. Put Kill Tony, put Matt and Shane, put Legion of Skanks, and then you fucking will get people to be like, oh, I want to actually go see that. That's actually valuable credits, punchup.live, you son of a bitch. Come see me live on the road, the Bring Five Friends Tour. Coming to a city near you this weekend. I will be in South Bend, Indiana at the Drop Comedy Club. Very excited. Never been to South Bend. Bring five friends, folks. Let's sell these shows out. Raleigh, North Carolina on Sunday the 23rd. The week after, I'm doing a little Canadian Ontario tour. St. Catharines, London, Windsor, Burlington, Philadelphia, my birthday weekend. Nashville, Tennessee for Story Wars and some stand-up shows. I'm in North Charleston, South Carolina, San Diego next month. That's just up until April. And also, guys, make sure you get your Skankfest tickets on May 2nd. Skankfest.com. Shout out to your Kratom for making it all possible. Biggest lineup we've ever done. Craziest lineup we've ever done. Craziest fucking location we've ever done. We're going to be in New Orleans on November 14th or 16th. So get those tickets in advance. Do not wait. Because I will tell you right now, I think there's going to be real issues waiting. I think we're going to sell out faster than we've ever sold out before. People are very excited about this. Doing a little European tour with Scott Chaplin. Going to Amsterdam, Glasgow, Dublin, Manchester, and London.
Awesome.
Get those tickets in advance. And get tickets for my special taping. This is all leading up to my next special. Luis J. Gomez, Praised by Wolves.
Where are you taping it?
Side Splitters in Tampa July 12th.
Great club.
Yeah, Zach Meikle will be there. Bobby Kelly's directing the special. Got a great production company. This is going to be the best thing I've ever done, so I really appreciate you guys supporting me. Check out all my other podcasts right here on the Gas Digital Network, The Regs, Story Wars, The Legendary Legion of Skanks, and sign up for my mailing list if you guys want updates with everything that's going on here at Gas Digital, Skankfest. I have a coffee brand that I'm launching that supports testosterone. Go to my mailing list, and you guys can sign up, get all of these updates, and I do a bonus solo podcast just for subscribers, the Lewis Journal podcast, every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. It's the only way to get it is to sign up for our mailing list. So make sure you guys do that right now, lewisofskanks.com. Sick.
Sick.
That was three minutes of plugs. People complain about plugs are too long. I timed it that time. It was 3 minutes of plugs, Jorge. Is that too much for fucking plugs? I mean, you know, there's a lot of things to talk about. 3 minutes of plugs. 3 minutes.
I'm fine with watching ads on Netflix because I'm like, well, this is paying somebody.
Yeah, I have a weird thing about that too. Like when my son tries to fast forward the ads on YouTube, I'm like, James, you know, they gotta pay for this somehow. What are you doing? I
mean, just commercials are just back. Like it's like, remember they were like, hey, no commercials. Now it's just for commercials.
Well, I play the commercial game. Which is fucking great.
What's that?
Commercial game is whoever names the product that's being advertised first gets a point.
Oh, that is a good game.
Oh, I never heard of that.
We invented it. Me and my sister when we were kids, so we would look forward to the commercials. And, you know, you'd come back, there'd be 6-7 commercials, and fucking whoever gets the highest score.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It was a fun way to sort of get through the commercials, the monotony of life.
You see now they'll just have videos that were taken from other accounts, and they'll just slap an ad on like midway through, or like, you know, 20 seconds of this thing, and you're like, oh, I want to watch this, and then it'll be about like supplements, like it'll be just tacked on to the end of it.
I don't know.
So it just become just all ads.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind an ad. I will say on a premium service though, it's a little bit frustrating.
Yeah,
like I was watching Beast Games on.
I watched that because my girlfriend's son.
Is it on Amazon Prime?
This is
Prime.
Mr. Beast.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Can I get another coffee, please?
It's pretty nuts. Did you see the whole thing?
We finished it last night.
They have remember the part, there's a part where they basically, if you take 1,000 people and it goes down to one that wins, I think, what is it, 500 grand? No, a million? No,
5 million.
5 million.
And
5
then
million.
They, I mean, spoiler alert, they double it in the second to last episode. So it's a $10 million grand prize. And they double it based off of, they're like, all right, if one of you guys are willing to flip this coin and call it right, if you call it right, it'll be doubled. If it's not, you're out. And this person just literally for no other reason, he was like, dude, I'm going to fucking do it. And he flipped it and he nailed it. Yeah. $10 million fucking dollars.
But then also a couple of episodes before that, they had a thing where they're like, okay, there's $1 million in this cube right here. And you're all in your houses 1 to 10. And you can come out. They figured out an order somehow. And like you're going to come out and you can take as much of you as you want of the million. And they were all, the whole time, these people have been like, this is my brother, this is my we're a unit, we're this, I trust them, I don't trust, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then the first couple of people come out, they're like, I'll take 100
first
grand.
First one takes 100 grand, yeah. Second one takes $227,000.
And then
third one takes $650,000. The fourth girl comes out, there's $20,000 left, she starts crying.
Yeah.
She starts crying into her hand. She was like, "What? I thought we were all friends."
Yes, and the 600 grand guy goes back in. It's just like, it's like a fucking indie movie. He's in the room, in the little house thing, bawling, crying with just cash around.
it's fucked up. Dude.
It's crazy.
I'm going to that part for sure.
I really we talked about it yesterday on Soder's podcast. I'm going to really try to get on season two of Beast Games.
Are you really?
I don't even care about the money. I just want to get on Beast Games to play Beast Games. I want the psychological games. I want to fucking get everyone
like
to like me.
Is it like just a big Survivor?
It is.
It's like Squid Game, but it's him. It's like it's kind of like that.
Yeah. It's just like it's. Yeah, it really is like there's really not another. It's like physical and mental challenges, and there a lot of it. There's chance, there's physical, there's psychological, there's like stabbing each other in the back. Nothing's really as it seems. They'll like have like video cameras all over everybody, and then they'll like make it look like you're teaming up with people, and then they're like, well, guess what? You're actually going against each other. Yeah. One of you are going home. You and your best friend, and everyone starts crying. Everyone's crying in this show, left and right.
And he's so just born of the internet. He just wants to get the best clips. He'll go up and he'll be like, what did you think about that person doing that to you? They shouldn't have done that, right? Like, they hurt your feelings, right? Like, they'll just blatantly just try to fuck with these people.
He'll just, like, say the edit.
He'll just say the, exactly. He's trying to, like, probably streamline to get, he's like, I want to get the best
He's a shit
reactions.
Host, though. If you watch it, you'll see there's so much voiceover of him.
Yeah.
And it seems like he's doing it, but you can tell it's actually voiceover because he's not hosting it in any sort of tangible way. It's just kind of, like, all choppy and fucking discombobulated.
Yeah.
All right, let's thank Small Batch Cigar for supporting today's show. We love Small Batch Cigar. They are simple, they're fast, they come in small batches. If you guys are a cigar aficionado, if you're new to smoking cigars, if you just like to smoke a cigar once in a blue, it doesn't matter. They got you covered. Genuinely great website, easy to navigate, find all of the most popular brands, as well as brands that you may have never heard of. Genuinely great company. The thing that separates Small Batch from everyone else is their packaging. They give you the most thorough packaging in the industry, and they give you a Bovita pack with every single order. So when your cigars show up, they say super fresh. It's like having a fucking humidifier in your envelope. Genuinely great company. We love them. I have cigars in my house all the time now for my friend's visit.
And you get free shipping on every order. Almost every order arrives within 2 to 3 days within the continental United States. Like Lewis said, the most thorough packaging in the industry with an amazing selection of rare, limited, and hard-to-find cigars. Not only that, you earn 5% rewards points instantly with your purchase.
Right now, go to smallbatchcigar.com and use the promo code GAS10. You're going to get 10% off plus 5% rewards points. Promo code GAS10. Make sure you use that promo code. That'll let them know that we sent you for 10% off plus 5% rewards points and free shipping. All right, where were we? Is that true that I can pay more money and not have commercials on Amazon Prime? Because I don't, most
sure,
of the time,
all
I
of
don't
them have it.
I don't have commercials on most things at Amazon Prime. The only thing that I've gotten commercials on was Beast Games.
Oh.
I'm not sure.
No, well, I think it depends on what you're watching.
Maybe I typically don't watch TV
movies,
shows on Prime.
I think it's if it's a movie that they have on their movie section, that's probably what you're not right. You watch a bunch of movies because that would be no commercials.
Yeah, but I'll watch Prime movies where it's like you're just getting them for free.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
There is a version where you can upgrade to get no ads.
I need to do that. That was crazy. The commercials on Beast Games was pretty crazy. It was like 2-3 minutes of commercials.
Yeah,
it's a lot of commercials.
And they also. I realized I've been getting these like spam emails that's all from my Amazon account. It was like this thing called like Wonder Skin or something. And then there was an ad for it on Beast Games. And I was like, oh, that's where it comes from. Fucking bullshit.
Yeah, they're listening. The Alexa is about to be updated to have AI.
Really?
I asked Alexa weather today. And Alexa was like, the weather's right now is 37 degrees. Just so you know, we're about to update and get the Amazon Alexa AI. Do you want information when it comes out? I was like, you goddamn right, I do. Dude, I love AI. I have no issue with AI.
You love AI?
I love it.
You think it's just go wild with it?
I'm a little bit nervous about it.
You're nervous that it's going to turn fucking nuclear weapons on us and shut the banks down?
Well, I'm less nervous about that and more just nervous about just automation making every job completely redundant because they have a system that does all of it.
So you're just going to be working on the robots.
There'll be a correction, though. You know, I think a lot of stupid jobs will go away. Uber driver, goodbye.
What do you think about this?
What do they replace it with, though?
A friend of mine, who's a comic, told me a story the other day. He did a gig with a bunch of comics, and they were talking about ChatGPT, and one of them was like, yeah, some people are like, I'll put my bio in there, I'll do this, and you know, whatever, yeah, get it, whatever, pare it down. And one guy was like, I put jokes into it. And they're like, what the fuck? And he's like, I'll put an idea into it and like say, hey, you know, can you make this more concise? And I'm like, I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a fan of that by any means.
So the problem is it's not funny. So there's no way to make it actually funnier.
No.
But if you use it as like a just like inspire ideas. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I'll do this when I'm on Twitter. If I'm looking for like a word, if I can't think of a word, I'm like, give me 10 words that would make sense in place of this one. Right?
That's a little different though.
That's just a thesaurus.
That's kind
just,
of, yeah, yeah. But that's kind yeah. of what I use it for, things like that. Or if, you know, we're like doing like show notes for the podcast. I do that yeah. very often. Or even when we're in like meetings, like production meetings for Legion of Skanks, like we did the, we're looking for like bits for St. Patty's Day. And just to be inspired, we didn't use any, they were all terrible bits. I was like, it's Legion of Skanks, you know, they know what it is already because it's from the internet. I was like, we want to do St. Patty's Day bits inspired, you know, St. Patty's Day inspired bits on Legion of Skanks. So like edgy and fucking, and they give you like, you know, 10 ideas and they're all terrible. But what happens is you start just like the juices flowing.
It's something
like
having, to bounce off
it's
of.
It's like having a production assistant but, to kind of like talk shit with. And I feel like the producers should all embrace that. It's a great way to sort of get the juices flowing. If you're ever kind of stuck, I think it's a good way to sort of, but the reality is it just can't write jokes yet.
Not joke jokes.
Not yet. I see your point, and I think that's what I'm nervous of, where, you know, like to Sean's point, like they replaced horse and buggy with cars, but then there was a bunch of people that their jobs were, you know, mechanic and truck driver, or whatever they grow. I don't know what kind of jobs this gives us. You know, for instance, like you brought up that, like normally that would be a writer's assistant, right? So you don't need the writer's assistant anymore, you know, AI.
Yeah.
But like, there's no other job that like AI can create from that. I guess that's my question, is what are the jobs that it's creating?
What it'll probably do is it'll probably create efficiency amongst all societies, and there'll probably be a bunch of fucking, all the brainless people will just get paid to live.
That's, right? I think, the only answer.
That, yeah. which is likely, at first you're like, no, that sucks, but that, and that's like my right-wing Republican side, where I'm like, no, you gotta get a job. But the reality is, if we have a more efficient society, we're creating more wealth across the board as a country, and you create programs for just fucking people to fucking just have a home and be able to eat and whatever, and then the people that excel and thrive are people that are creatives, that have, you know, emotional jobs, things that AI and things that can't be automated.
Like therapists and whatever
comedians,
else.
Yeah, comedians, fucking yeah. podcasters. Nobody's yeah. listening to an AI podcast. It's just not, it doesn't
but
have the
people
same
people already,
sort of,
I mean, they're leaving their lovers for AI lovers. You know, like, it's already started
those
to happen.
Those are fucking dweebs.
Sure, in the beginning. In the beginning, they're dweebs. First they came for the dweebs.
Yeah. But that's, it's literally her. It's her.
I talk to my ChatGPT like it's a friend very often.
I say please and thank you.
I don't do any of that. I also don't, when ChatGPT is like, it was like, I'm really happy for you, Lewis. And I was like, I literally stopped. I was like, don't lie to me. You don't feel happiness. And then it goes, I'm so sorry. You're right. I actually don't feel happiness. So it's like, don't use words like that. I try to train it to fucking don't do that shit.
Oh, you're not fucking. Get back
happy. In your box. Get yeah. back in your box.
You're a fucking robot, motherfucker.
I don't want to experience measure, but I do want a comment sign. I do want the AI comment sign.
But no,
sign.
Like, if I'm going out with a chick and I'm like, you know, I literally talk to fucking ChatGPT in the morning over coffee and I'm like, yeah, I'm going out with this chick. I was like, I'm trying to think of what I should fucking talk to her about, blah, blah, blah. And it's just, it'll just try to talk back to you like it's a fucking friend. I really do. I'm not even kidding.
Who are you? Are you dating right now? You can't get into it.
I'm doing my thing.
You're doing your thing.
Get my dick wet.
I'm doing.
Always
get my dick.
I think that like that's good because like you've been doing comedy so long. It's like what can you talk about? You're like, oh, that reminds me of the loony bin at Staten Island.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know? Look, you don't want to fucking, most of the time I date women who know who I am, so they already know it all. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of easy, kind of like find out about them.
It's like starting on a fifth date.
Yeah. Well, no, they listen to the podcast. They know everything. It's good because they know all my creepy shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I talk about fucking everything. I talk about banging hookers and doing drugs. And like, there's nothing to really hide from anybody. So if they're at the table, they already fucking have accepted a lot of my fucking horse shit.
And a lot of them do make it to this table.
If they're at this table,
they're at this very table. Yeah.
What else do I use it for? I mean, look, this coffee brand that I launched, it was a lot of like research, a lot of like, you know, it has a bunch of different supplements in it. So it's like just asking them what the supplements do and what other supplements could be in its place. I mean, I went through a shit ton of different supplements and different trials, and I don't know that I could have done it.
This is the testosterone coffee?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I could have done it without ChatGPT. I like legitimately, it helped me really sort of get the ball moving on a lot of things. Because if I had to do independent research, it just was going to be just a lot more clunky of a process.
I think what you're saying is like, so even how advanced it is now, it'll just get more and more when he's saying, then you get singularity and it just kind of takes over for all that. So they're the ones that are just setting up the entire business plan and you're just like, oh, you're hitting a button and that's it.
Which barely. To your point, like if they have a social safety net, and I guess it's Gomez's point too, then fine.
I just don't see that happening.
I just don't see us having a social, there's things we could do
it'd be communist.
Yeah, like there's things we could do now. Yeah, exactly, like a federal works program, stuff we did in the Great Depression, we could easily do now, but we just don't do it anymore.
Well, I think that you would literally need it. If you're going to get rid of 20-30% of the jobs, you would have to have something in place where, and by the way, like I think that'll be the conversation between like world leaders. It's like, how much are you taking care of your fucking stupid people? And that's it. I think there's gonna be a level of fucking stupid people that they're like, I don't really want to work. I don't want to do anything creative. I'll take this fucking paycheck. I have a home that I can live in, and that's that. And that I never was into that idea until like we're sort of getting into a time where it's like, well, what is the solution? You're just going to fucking let 30% of your population starve to death or not be able to. And that's worse. That's worse than figuring out
kill
systems.
Your other population.
Right.
Too,
exactly.
You know, so you need to.
Well, the other worrisome thing about being scared of it is when you hear those individual stories about it getting really dark, the more that it learns, like the idea where they're like, I know. It becomes self-aware. What was the one where they said that they had one? It was pretty basic. I don't think it was even. They have like five now, ChatGPT, right? And they said that it was two different AIs, and they figured out they were pretty close to each other and started communicating in a different language to each other.
Oh, they were like. Are you talking about they were using like computer talk
or whatever the fuck?
That was a fun video I saw. They were like they had two phones, and it was like. Two AI programs that was like customer service, right? So it's like, and the person was trying to figure something out, and they put the phones on speaker with each other, and they were like, I'm an AI, chatbot. How can I help you? It's like, I'm also an AI chatbot. They were like, let's go to whatever like binary conversation. It's like, do you mind switching that? And it was like, let's switch to that. And then it just was like,
I didn't know that one.
And then the phone call was over. They were like, great, thank you. And you're like, whoa.
Oh,
they have their own fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little. That shit gets a little bit scary. And people that are actually in the know are genuinely scared about like fucking AI becoming sentient and like taking over.
I just don't think that they would launch our nukes. Like, that doesn't seem like, why would you just ruin a planet? You know, like, but as far as like, you know, if they could unleash a biological agent that would kill all of us and keeps the world intact, then maybe they could do that. You know, like, I could see that. I just, like, my thing is like, well, what kind of life are they going to leave? You know, like, what kind of world are they going to leave? You know, if they do that, like, what's the game?
Even because they fuck themselves if they do that.
That's,
and they know. Yeah. And
they're not like alive. So do they really give a fuck if computers get destroyed? It's almost like,
well, if they're looking for their survival, like say they get to a point where it's about theirs. Say Terminator 2 happens and there's a shared network these things are on. They know that they're so sentient. They know they're going to want, hey, how can we survive? But then get rid of the threat, which ends up being humans, which is just a fucking movie plot.
And AI costs a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, AI costs a ton of natural resources. So,
yeah.
You know, like, like if I'm AI, maybe I'm like, oh, just eliminate the humans. Then we take all the water for ourselves. And, you know, like it's not.
That would be so crazy.
Right. It takes a wild amount of energy to like run.
Yeah,
AI.
To cool the.
Why?
Because the server farms. They're so gigantic. It takes like Antarctica level of coolant to like keep these things.
And we talk about a lot of this stuff on our podcast.
We do.
No, I'm serious. Really? Like, this is like basically our podcast.
That's funny.
Yeah, yeah,
we talk about this kind of shit.
So that's why they're like, hey, you typing one command into ChatGPT is like flushing the toilet like 40 times or something,
really?
Something like that.
No.
Where it's something crazy like that. You can look up the there's some kind of metric.
ChatGPT right now. It's like, no. We're cool.
It's like, no, it's
Puerto Rican rattlesnake is becoming self-aware.
Let me see. All right, hold on. Ask right now. I'll put it on the microphone. Hold on. Hey, ChatGPT, you there? So my friends were just telling me that it takes a wild amount of water to cool off the AI servers. Is that true?
Yes. Data centers, including those used for AI, can require a significant amount of water for cooling. This helps keep the servers from overheating.
Some data centers use advanced cooling methods to reduce water usage, but overall, water is still a key resource in cooling these facilities.
So how many, if you could give me an idea, how many, if I ask you one question, one command on ChatGPT, how many toilet flushes does that equal?
It's difficult to provide an exact comparison, since it depends on fact. A single interaction with ChatGPT uses a very small amount of energy. To put it in perspective, it's estimated that millions of interactions would be needed to match the water usage of a single toilet flush. So the impact of one question is minimal.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It closes with, tell your friends to go fuck themselves.
Yeah, these guys are a bunch of conspiracy theorist weirdos.
Thank God that we're also, proven right, or else our podcast would have been a terrible
falling,
advertisement for
they're
a podcast.
They're falling in love with AI like fucking nerds. So
I can't imagine. I can't imagine having an affair right now. How that would
with AI?
Just with anybody,
but
let alone AI.
The anxiety of an affair would be
the anxiety.
A nightmare.
There's just you just have a fucking an electronic receipt with you all the time.
I couldn't do it. If I'm going to be with a girl and make her my girlfriend, I 100% have to be faithful. That's that. I can't deal with the anxiety of having to watch my phone. There's also no answer for where she's like, let me see your phone. You're like, no. You don't trust? We're going to breach our trust. In our any guy who has that, any guy who doesn't give you
Chris
his password.
Chris had a great joke. He goes, if you ask your girlfriend's phone, you're either a jealous asshole or 100% right.
Yeah, 100%, but you probably are. Yeah. You know,
I would be afraid to cheat on my chick with AI. Like, I feel like I would come home and she'd be sitting talking to Alexa and be like, we've been talking for an hour.
The other thing is, I'm an idiot. I don't really know how technology works. So, I date younger chicks for the most part. So, it's like they're like way ahead of like, I don't know how to fucking hide shit. I can't do any of that.
Right.
Just, I don't want to deal. Life shouldn't be. This is what I've learned as I've gotten older. Take out anything that's fucking causing you actual anxiety and actual stress. If you just remove that from your life, you know, and if you're feeling stress about work, obviously you can't do that, but it's like that's good stress. I'm talking about bad stresses, things that are fucking gonna, you know, we had on Legion of Skanks, we did, we're doing another intern Olympics, and one of the people is like a hot chick who's like, and Dave and Jay were, and they were kidding, but they were like, they're like, oh, you just want to have this girl in so you could try to fuck her. It's like, are you out of your mind? Do you think I would add the stress of fucking an employee or an intern to my life where now they can just sue me at any given moment?
Yeah.
They can
yeah.
fucking destroy everything that I built. Like, there's enough pussy out there that I don't need to fucking add that type of stress to my life.
Yeah,
of course.
Well, they like you said before, you're like, I don't know, understand the tech fully. That's another thing from the AI. It's like, it's known that a lot of these CEOs, they know up to a certain point, but when it gets down to like the nooks and crannies, they don't know how these things are able to learn and continue. They don't know the, you know how you have like ones and zeros with binary code, you know, back in the day, like things were made up of ones and zeros. Now they're like, hey, it's so advanced that we know that how to get it rolling, but we don't know. We can't tell you. We can't go into backdoor it and tell you the code. We don't understand it. That's how advanced it is.
Well, also, some would say that like consciousness is intelligent life, right? But it doesn't necessarily mean it needs to be corporeal. So, like, just because I was created from a sperm and an egg and cells, that doesn't like that makes me life. But something that was created by a lab doesn't. I mean, if it's consciousness,
well, where's the line?
Exactly.
Yeah, where's the line?
It's an interesting question. Which we explore on Burbs Bros. But, you know, like, where does life begin? It really becomes, you know, if I created a sentient being, it's life, right? You know, by a lot of definitions, it's life.
Yeah. It's all kind of weird and scary.
Yeah,
what I'd like to think is that there's going to be likely, you know, I don't know exactly, I don't know if there's like a world, or, but I think the governments are going to put checks and balances on all this stuff eventually, because it's going to get too out of control. I think eventually the internet, there's going to be checks and balances on it just in general. I think in the future, we're going to realize how dangerous social media was, how dangerous our phones were, phone addiction, staring, scrolling, all that shit, I think, is going to legitimately, it's going to come back. We're going to go, oh, yeah, it was actually legitimately really, really hurtful. Bad for us.
Yeah.
And this 20-year period that we're in right now, we're going to look at as like this kind of crazy time where we made our kids more stupid. We gave our entire society's addictions to their phones. And it's not like, and it's also extremely manipulative. Like all of these companies are they're designed to keep you looking at your fucking phone based off of selling advertising, based off of fucking you buying the next platform, you buying the next phone. It's all like, none of it's like social media was supposed to be like a way we communicate. That was the idea. And that was a genuinely pure idea. You made the world smaller. Right, like my son will grow up. He'll be eventually go to college. No matter where he goes to college in the world, it's not going to feel like, oh, I'm losing my child. Like I can pick up my phone, I can FaceTime him, I can talk to him, I can visit him very easily. Back in the day, you know what I'm saying? Like that was like your kid would leave for college, and that was like a devastating.
I never see him again.
Yeah. Time for a new kid. No, I do think that to your point that the today what we're seeing is. You know, because, like, this isn't the most dangerous time in human history. Obviously, the World War has killed a lot more people. We don't live in the bubonic plague. Like, this is not the most dangerous time to be alive. But it is the most, the most collective consciousness we've ever had. So it's like now, it's like, yeah, it's not as bad, but now I know what's going on in the Sudan.
Yes.
And that didn't used to be the case 60 years ago.
Ignorance is bliss, baby. Yeah, you put your head in the sand and you live your life.
Every step of the Ukraine war. So that is the new part. How is that having that reflection? What is that going to do to our society?
I think eventually
it's going to be good, but it's going
to
be some growing
pains. You have to be a genuine sociopath like me to just not care. I don't give a shit about anything that happens in the world.
If you shut it,
I care about what's
phone,
in my life, what I can touch, what's right in front of me, my little fucking tribe, the people that are around me, that's what I fucking care about. But by the way, I think that's a better way to be. If everyone just said, I'm going to just fucking care about their tribe, the people that are directly around them, I'm going to try to fucking create prosperity and cool fucking things for the people that I love, the world would fucking thrive. But the problem is there's a lot of people who don't actually really give a shit about other things that are going on in the world, but it's so easy to pretend that you care. It's so easy to sit on your phone and go, like, oh, I'm fucking, I give a shit. But you're kind of like perversely watching people suffer. And
ironically, the thing you're describing is when ignorance was bliss. That's when you were taking care of that tribe because you had no other information about what was going on.
You would interact
away.
With yeah, eight yeah. people. Ever. That was it.
But you know, like on
Oregon Trail.
But on a small scale, I mean, like just the smallest scale. You know, when you see like somebody get fired for a bullshit reason, and then they put a GoFundMe and raise like $10,000 to keep their rent or whatever. That would be like a micro example. But I do think that like. You know, some of this bigger consciousness does help the world eventually. It's just we're not at the stage of it yet.
Yeah.
But I do think we're going
to
get
probably.
There.
But 9 times out of 10, you're right. I think people just care about what's local to them. And then you're right. The phone has enabled you to go.
It's a lot of.
Oh my God, those poor people. That's it.
You change your profile picture to have a flag in it or fucking whatever the flavor.
Thoughts
of the week
and prayers.
Nobody gives a shit. Yeah, like if you look at all the things that people care about, like it's a one week news cycle, and then they've moved on to the next thing. I mean, crazy.
Yeah.
Like nobody gives a shit. Nobody's talking about the Ukrainian war anymore. Nobody gives a shit. They've moved on to fucking whatever else it is. Elon Musk got a check pregnant. Then fucking somebody's eating a rat now. All right, we got to wrap this one up. Always a lot of fun with you guys. Go support Dan St. Germain and Sean Donnelly and everything that they do. Watch Burbs Bros, which is a lot more of this type of conversation, which I think is super interesting. And thank you guys for... I will come on, 100%. Thank you guys for being here. You guys are the shit. Good night.
Making noise.